Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Mark Rohde. Take advantage of the best ticket value in Chicago with a Chicago Wolves fan four-pack. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, and popcorn, all at one low price. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for information. The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow, and the Bulls' Robin Lopez may be in play.
My sense is that they will not just trade him, So I think you're going to have to get a decent return for him for them to deal him. I don't think they trade just to, you know, maybe if you want to say help the tank or get a second round pick or what have you. They do value him. He does have a good contract.
And the Bulls likely would not be looking to take on any long-term money, according to the Chicago Tribune's Casey Johnson, who was on the Score with Mully and Hanley this morning. The Bulls host Minnesota on Friday. Blackhawks have Dallas at the United Center tomorrow. Josh McDaniels' agent has reportedly taken McDaniels off his client list. And aside from that, on the Malcolm Butler saga, Robert Kraft apparently had no idea Butler would be benched in the Super Bowl, kept in the dark on that issue. DePaul ball against Creighton tonight, 7:45, right here on the Score. The Scoreboard Update has been brought to you by Illinois Media School. I'm Mark Rohde, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station and the new radio home for the Chicago Bulls. Bulls host Minnesota on Friday. Broadcast begins at 8:15 right here on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Illinois Media School.
Hi, Hub.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
An experienced NFL reporter with decades of experience.
670 The Score's NFL insider.
Is he a long-range answer? That seems a bit unlikely. I think they've got better young talent in the pipeline, but they're still a ways away from completely fixing the position.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
NFL expert Hub Arkish.
Analyst for Shaw Media, the Chicago Sun-Times, and the Daily Herald.
I am tired of watching this crap. That was awful today.
Taking your calls on the Bears and the NFL.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Hub.
Hub's gone. They had to close the restaurant down because they close at 1 o'clock.
Oh, no, I want to talk to Hub because...
Well, call next week.
Hub Arkish.
Hub Arkish? That's getting better than this.
With Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Wednesday means Hub belongs to you. Hub Arkish of Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, Sports Radio 670 The Score. He's with us now. Hi, Hub.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're great. Hub can be followed on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. We have a couple lines open if you have a question or a comment. Bears NFL, he's right here for you. He is your font of insider information, so feel free to have at him at 312-644-6767. We will begin with Frank in Oak Park. Go ahead, Frank.
Hub, if this is the last session with the fans this year, I'd like to thank you for the great amount of football insights you've given us this year. It's a real asset on Chicago radio. So I've got a question about potential rookie pass rushers for the Bears, and what about your optimism for the team going forward? Hub, there are two pass rushers, Bradley Chubb of North Carolina State and Marcus Davenport of Texas San Antonio. They're listed as top 10 to top 15 players on many mock draft boards. From Greg Gabriel's initial research, do either have the potential backpedal and coverage athleticism to play as an outside linebacker in the Bears 3-4 scheme? Second, you expressed great optimism yesterday in the Bears' ability to perform a major turnaround in 2018. Tell what you see in Pace's first 3 years of drafting and free agent pickups that gives you such confidence when compared to his predecessors, Phil Emery and late stage Angelo. Which?
Oh, I cut him off. I thought he was done. Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, Frank, first of all, thank you for the kind words. I certainly hope this isn't the last time you guys are going to hear from me this year. We'll be back.
Apparently he knows something about contract negotiations that we don't.
Yeah, that worries me a bit. But no, we'll be around. Matter of fact, I'll be hosting Sunday from the auto show.
And, nice.
So we're going to be around. But at any rate, specifically Marcus Davenport, Bradley Chubb, two good football players, the two probably most projectable, I don't want to say best, but most projectable pass rushers in the draft. A big difference between Chubb and the kid from Texas, San Antonio. Chubb is probably a top five to top eight pick in this draft. He is the best pure pass rusher. He's a big fella. He's 6'4", 275, 280, so I don't think you're going to say his strong suit is going to be playing outside linebacker and dropping into coverage, but I have read a report or two that says it's something he may be able to do here and there as a change of pace, but at the end of the day, he is your best pure pass rusher. The kid from University of Texas, San Antonio, great body type, 6'6 and a half, 6'7, 260, 265 pounds. Really playing against a lower level of competition, though. A kid who's really come on just in the last year or two. The program at University of Texas, San Antonio, for him, for Davenport, is only, I think, 4 years old. He has a chance to be the first ever first-round pick out of that school. Probably will be a first-round pick. A lot tougher to project, though, and not someone who I would expect to see dropping into coverage, at least not for some time. He's got a lot to learn just about being a professional pass rusher. As far as, you know, I was asked a question at the end of the show last night and tried to find a team from either conference. To be extremely clear, I did not predict the Bears would be a playoff team. I am not predicting that. Looking at the teams in the bottom this year, the ones that I think might have the best shot, I like where the Bears are at better than where the Bucks are at, you know, where the Cardinals or the Niners are at, where the Giants are at. I think that was what I was trying to say there. As far as them having a chance to contend for a wild card spot this year, I do see that as a possibility. And when you ask, you know, what's the talent I've seen in the last few years, I think it's pretty obvious. You know, it's certainly Mitch Trubisky, it's Jordan Howard. It is Cody Whitehair. I still think Kyle Long can be a Pro Bowl guard. Josh Sitton can still play at a high level on the defensive side of the football. Love what Akeem Hicks is doing, as well as Eddie Goldman. Certainly Jonathan Bullard came on last year. He's got a ways to go still. A lot of room between him and his ceiling. Leonard Floyd, if they can keep him healthy. Kwiatkowski. They've developed Christian Jones. My hope is that they re-sign Kyle Fuller, Eddie Jackson, even Sam Acho, who probably doesn't get enough credit. You know, who's been here on a series of one-year deals and is a free agent again. Christian Jones. These are a bunch of people I think can play. And actually, I believe every one of them, except maybe Acho, is on the pace regime. There, let's be honest, there isn't anything from the Phil Emery regime or late-stage Jerry Angelo. There's nothing from Jerry Angelo. And what you've got is, I believe, Kyle Long and Sherrick McManus from the Phil Emery regime. And so it's pretty much what Ryan Pace has done in the first 3 years here.
Out to Dixon next. Kenny, you're on the score with Hub.
Good afternoon, guys. Hub, I was thinking about a couple names for the first round and one for the second round. What do you think of Quentin Nelson, Micah Fitzpatrick, and Derwin James? And then in the second round, do you think they would look at maybe a receiver like the kid from Oklahoma State? Thank you, and I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Thank you.
Well, you know, listen, I think that Quentin Nelson and Minkah Fitzpatrick would be absolute steals at number 8, because I think the two of them are amongst the top 4 or 5 prospects in the draft. There is the possibility that Nelson could fall to them at 8. Then you've got to answer the question, with the 8th pick in the draft, how much am I improving my football team by drafting what may be the greatest position of strength on the team? I know that Josh Sitton is 31. Josh Sitton's actually got an $8 million roster bonus that they've got to decide on, I think, in the next week or two.
And he's, what, 34?
No, 31.
Oh, 30, yeah. Is he 31?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he can play at this level for a while. And Kyle Long, you don't know if he's healthy or not. But, I mean, you've got so many other areas where you want to get better. Now, if Nelson is a generational player, and some say he is, and nobody's going to know better than the Bears' new offensive line coach, since Harry Eastand coached him at Notre Dame, I'm fine with that. I don't know that he'll be there at number 8. There's no way that Minkah Fitzpatrick will be there. I would be stunned. And if he is, then I expect Ryan Pace to break all land speed records and pull a hamstring trying to get to the podium to draft him. Him next to Eddie Jackson, and then you re-sign Fuller, maybe get a couple new corners, whatever you do. You got the makings of a really exciting secondary then. You know, beyond those two, I think there was a third player he mentioned. Derwin James, also a really good safety, also more of a strong safety. Like, actually, Fitzpatrick could play corner, he could play free, he could play strong. Derwin James is more of a strong safety. Eddie Jackson, more of a free safety. I like him a lot. I don't like him quite as much as the other two. He probably is a 10 to 15 prospect. Don't know about the value at number 8. You asked about receiver. I always get the Oklahoma State kids mixed up, but Marcel Ateman, James Washington.
Yeah, James Washington is the Oklahoma State kid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's a really good. I'd compare him to Amari Cooper. He's mm-hmm. not a home run hitter. He's not a huge guy, but he's a really accomplished football player. And in the second round, he might be a really good fit. There are a bunch of wide receivers that are going to have second or third round grades on them, and the trick is going to be figure out which one is this year's Juju Schuster Smith.
Who's the Jaguars draft pick that flamed out the wide receiver
Marquise
out of
Lee?
Was it Blackman?
Oh, out of Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, from Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's got the similar body type to him.
I forget his name now.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about, though. Yes, and he was a high pick who didn't make it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the norm with wide receivers. I mean, it's stunning when you start to think about it, the rarity of a first-round receiver making it. You know, the guys you're looking for are the second, third, fourth rounders. And so you got a whole bunch that are going to be in that category this year.
Here's Mark in Logan Square. He's on the Score with Hub. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know what? So I saw yesterday that Todd McShay, he still had Calvin Ridley at number 8 for the Bears. And I find that kind of shocking because I'm hearing everyone else say, you know, he's not worth taking that eighth spot. My question to you, Hub, is do you think the Bears would be better off trading that pick to maybe like a number 13, 14 type team as far as draft position? And you know, would it be better for them to trade off that pick rather than just go with the Quentin Nelson at 8 or what do you think in regards to that?
You know, it depends on what happens with the quarterbacks in the top 7. If 2 or 3 go in the top 7, then the Bears are going to get a really good football player at number 8. If teams are smart and one's going to go, you know, maybe 2. But if no more than one is gone, if there's 6 other players, picked off the board and a quarterback, then I think they can get just as good a value by trading down anywhere from 5 to 15 picks, hopefully getting a couple of extra high picks, and I'd love to see them do it. But we have this conversation every year, Mark. You got to have a partner. You got to have somebody. And what's interesting, I'm not sure which way they're better off. If only one quarterback has come off the board, then there probably isn't the player you want at 8, but that means there's a better chance that there's a quarterback that somebody else will come up and get. The flip side is if 2 or 3 quarterbacks are gone, it's going to be harder to trade down, but it means that there's going to be a good football player there. There was a time when it was just Joel Buxbaum, then it was just Joel Buxbaum and Mel Kiper, and then it was just Mel Kiper and Nolan Naracki after Joel passed away. Now there's, you know, however many dozen. Some are really good, guys like Daniel Jeremiah, Lance Ierlein. Kiper still does a nice job. I got nothing. I don't know Todd McShay, but consistently his rankings don't match with the ones that I respect, and there's no way that Calvin Ridley should be a top 10 pick in this draft.
Hudson, Wisconsin, and Doug on Sports Radio 670.
Good afternoon. My question is, what is it that compels teams to have to allow other teams to interview or allows them to interview or solicit coaches that are under contract? And I get, you know, that you want to have people promoted, but to me it seems that destabilize the product, if not devalue it, and then every year you get this just kind of revolving door, or you know, it's just crazy. And half of these the head coaches, it seems to be at least a crapshoot. So why is it that the teams have to allow assistants that are under contract, seemingly anyway, to interview for jobs, even if they're promotions?
Doug, they don't necessarily have to. There used to be a cut-and-dried rule that if it was a promotion, you had to let a guy interview. If it was a position coach to a coordinator to a head coach or assistant head coach, you had to allow that. You can now block a position coach from interviewing from a coordinator job. I do believe the league still requires you to allow a position or any assistant coach to interview for a head job. And I think that is just, I guess, viewed as fair hiring practices, a chance for someone to better themselves. You know, know, in what industry would you want someone to be able to block people like that? And I think that really leads to your answer, which is that even if it wasn't the rule, if you're going to block some guy from a significant raise, you know, both in respect and income, how good a job is he going to do for you going forward? And so I think the
smart... Yeah, and you're going to have a hard time hiring other people if you're seen as standing in the way of careers.
Yeah, the smart folks realize that you know, creating an unhappy employee is not necessarily a good idea, and it speaks to your reputation around the league. And that's what's interesting about, and we still need a lot more facts to come out about what happened with Josh McDaniels and the Colts. But, of course, immediately everybody wants to blame the evil empire and the Patriots. Bill Belichick was supporting McDaniels' move. They were doing what they could to help him and position him properly. And it was not this is the only piece I know for sure. It was not until Josh McDaniels himself went back to Robert Kraft yesterday to talk to him about it that the Patriots said, okay, let's negotiate. Let's talk about this. So, you know, I think it's probably just a good business practice to be known as someone who treats their employees as generously and as fairly as possible and does everything you can to promote them in your industry.
This segment brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Join Napa Rewards today to save $5 on every $100 you spend on the parts you need to keep your car on the road. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how. This is our Wednesday segment with Hub Arkish. More calls upcoming. Couple lines open, 312-644-6767. You got a question or a comment for our football expert? You're up next on The Score.
Bulls fans, your Chicago Bulls can now be heard exclusively on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Rainbow three, go! What a shot!
Hear every exciting play of Bulls basketball. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, the new official radio home of the Chicago Bulls.
This is Tiki Barber with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports. In reality, I actually believe Josh McDaniels' change of heart to renege on becoming the Indianapolis Colts head coach as genuine, that he was given a lot of incentives to stay on as Bill Belichick's offensive coordinator. A hefty raise, assurance from Tom Brady that he's not ready to hang it up, and who knows, perhaps a wink and a nod that he'll be New England's coach in waiting when and if Belichick retires. However, I can't help but think, and kind of secretly hope, that this is a backdoor slap in the face for Deflategate. Remember, it was the Colts in the 2014-15 AFC Championship game who accused Tom Brady and the Patriots of illegally underinflating their footballs. Ultimately, Brady served a 4-game suspension and the team was heavily fined and had to forfeit a first-round draft pick. Look, I know this probably isn't the case, but it would be kind of awesome if it was. I'm Tiki Barber.